Should I start by saying ahoy?
Because
that would make sense, wouldn't it?
It would.
Ahoy there.
Ahoy.
Ahoy there.
Oh, he sounds a bit sassy saying that. Ahoy.
He does a little bit. So they sort of revealed a little while ago now, maybe about a month ago, that the name of the arena that they're going to be holding the Eurovision Song Contest in this year, or next year, I should say, is the Ahoy Arena. And maybe ahoy doesn't have the same meaning in Dutch as it does in English, so they won't find it as funny. But I still like it.
I think it does, Martin. I don't think ahoy means centre in Dutch or something. I think it does still mean ahoy.
Well, anyway, it's at the Ahoy, and ahoy to you, and welcome to Nulpois.
Yes, indeed, ahoy. My name is Laura, and I've got the lovely Martin here as well. Ahoy.
Yes, hello, ahoy to you. And this is a podcast all about the Eurovision Song Contest, because we are both Eurovision fans. We like it. We maybe don't know everything there is to know about it, but we're fans.
Yes, it's important to put that bit out there. We are not experts.
No.
We are fans.
We are
big fans, though.
Yeah, we're big fans because we've been to the Eurovision Song Contest five times now, have we been?
I think it's... Is it even more than that? So let's count, because this will be fun for listeners. I think... So we've been to Copenhagen, Vienna,
yeah.
Stockholm,
mm-hmm.
Lisbon and Tel Aviv. So you're right, Martin, five.
So Rotterdam will be our sixth. And the most recent one, of course, Tel Aviv. That was 2019. That was this year. Our most, I suppose, exotic. It's the furthest we've ever travelled for Eurovision. I didn't think I'd ever go to Israel, to be honest. And I'm really glad I did, because I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Yes, I mean, I didn't actually see as much of Tel Aviv as the rest of the group, because I was quite ill.
Oh, I still feel so bad about it. It's just, we got there and, you know, it's quite a long flight. And you took two flights to get there. You'd been flying for like 10 hours. You eventually got there. We said it was dark when we arrived in Tel Aviv. We didn't arrive in the most salubrious bit to begin with, although where we were staying was absolutely lovely. And we eventually got there. And then the next day, you got ill because you'd been on some sort of... What had you been doing?
All right, so I'd fallen in a river because I was on a hen do, okay, and then when that makes it sound like I was drunk and I fell in a river, which is not true. We were on a river rafting exercise and the raft collapsed and we all fell in the river because we had to make this raft out of barrels, basically. Our raft collapsed, we fell in the river, and I'm pretty sure that must have been what did it, because I was just so ill for the rest of the holiday, which was lovely. And I really wanted to say to the other people who fell in the river afterwards, did anybody else feel a bit ill later? Because I wanted to be like, was it just me that was really badly ill? Because no one else seemed to bring it up on the WhatsApp group.
Everyone was just really embarrassed. So it was a shame because you didn't get to see as much of Tel Aviv as I and the rest of the people that we were with managed to do. But let me tell you, it was great.
Oh,
and,
please.
Yeah,
it was. I'm so glad, Martin. I'm so glad.
So they had the Eurovision Village on the beach, basically, right on the beach on Tel Aviv, which is an amazing location. I think the Eurovision Village was the biggest one I've ever been to, that I've ever seen. It had a fun fair in it, basically. You know, it had loads and loads of things to do. Huge big screen. And you're there outside in the wonderful weather, looking up at this screen, then to the right of you, the huge big skyscrapers on the beachfront of Tel Aviv. And it was just a really kind of awesome thing to see. And that's before we even got into the actual Eurovision Song Contest. We watched the final, and what did you make of it?
The final itself, I mean, Madonna's performance was something to behold, I have to say.
a worthy
winner, I think, Duncan Lawrence. There were some other songs I think I would have preferred to have won, but it was, you know, it was still a great song that he gave. I kind of...
So good. Can you remember how it goes?
I can remember. It was called Arcade, and it being quite a sort of do 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 do. There you go.
This is not helping me at all. Sounds like something from Les Misérables. I don't think it was that.
It was. If you play back a clip of that, you'll see how right I am. I mean, okay, it's not. I haven't got the words down, Martin.
No?
Arcade. But I like Norway's entry.
Oh, yeah, you did like Norway's entry. Ooh, I was a little lukewarm to it, but yeah, it grew on me because it's just so ridiculous.
It was great fun.
Two people who were singing a lovely little duet and then just a bald bloke making weird noises.
Come on, gotta love that bald bloke. He was the best.
Old baldy weirdo, he was loving it. he was absolutely loving it. I like that. I think my favourite moment, not my favourite song, but my favourite moment was Quavo's appearance on the Eurovision Song Contest, because Quavo clearly didn't have a clue what was going on. He'd never heard of the Eurovision, and he found himself because he was doing something with Madonna as part of her performance. And so they got him up on stage before that, and the Israeli TV presenter said, "Hey, Quavo, what do you think of Eurovision?" Quavo just looks stunned. He's in a state of shock. He's no idea what he's let himself in for. And it's just, his face was just a picture. And I love it because you're looking there at the face of a man who has not got a clue what madness he's involved himself in, and he's not sure how to react. He's not sure, is this meant to be funny, or are they all taking this seriously? And the answer, Quavo, is a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, Quavo.
Depends who you are.
Yeah, do you think it was almost as if they'd kept him in a sort of self-contained room and then just let him out, and he was suddenly like, oh my god, what is this?
What is this? I know. Maybe considering this is the first podcast, we should explain a little bit about what we like about Eurovision, because we do kind of say how ridiculous it is and that sort of stuff, but we do love it. I love it because it is just completely bonkers, and it's not serious at all, and it's just something that everybody can collectively laugh with, sometimes laugh at, but mainly laugh with.
Yes, I think it depends on the host that year, whether it's laugh with or laugh at, to be honest, Martin. It's definitely, whenever Sweden's doing it, it's laugh with. Otherwise it's often laugh at, I think.
Yeah, quite possibly. Anyway, this year it's in Rotterdam, as we've been saying, and it's at the Ahoy Arena, which should be good. I was surprised, actually, that Rotterdam was chosen. I just assumed it would be Amsterdam.
But the point is, Martin, is it would have been Amsterdam, but all their event centres were booked up, as it were. They were too busy to host the Eurovision. So they had to do... It was Maastricht and Rotterdam that were then in the running. So basically, yeah, it would have been Amsterdam if they had the space.
It could have been Rotterdam... Or anywhere.
No, look, we have to stop making that joke now. It's too, because that's just going to come round again. You know that when it's Eurovision, you're going to see those headlines again.
it's gonna happen.
We have to stop.
I think. What do we know about Rotterdam? Because we're going there in May, and
we are going. Yes.
To be honest, I don't really know anything about it.
One thing I will say, Martin, is we probably do need to book our flights at some point.
Yeah.
And accommodation.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Well, Martin, can I tell you? I've got some fun facts.
Ooh.
About Rotterdam.
Yes, please.
Fun being perhaps a subjective word. did you know, Martin, Rotterdam has the second largest port in the world?
Do you know, I've just been to, I've just got back from New York State in America.
Yes. And it's not the biggest.
It's not the biggest. But then I went on, because I was sort of at a loose end for a day or two, and I went on a day trip to Syracuse, right? And I got to Syracuse in the pouring rain. I had no idea what to do in Syracuse. And so I just walked up to somebody on a university campus and I said, excuse me, can you tell me what to do in Syracuse? And they said, well, firstly, you need to go to Armory Square. Trudge all the way to Armory Square, I do. It's not a square and there's no armory. It's just like a sort of area where there's a few restaurants. I was looking around for this square for ages. It doesn't exist. And the other thing they say, oh, you must do this. It's home to the 6th largest shopping center in the United States. And let me tell you, it is underwhelming.
Hey! How exciting for you, Martin. It sounds like you it sounds a bit like that time when we were in Copenhagen for the Eurovision and we went to see The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? And it was pouring down with rain.
Yeah, and it was little, wasn't it?
It really is, yeah.
It's
tiny. It's very underwhelming.
It is very underwhelming. I mean, I'm glad I saw it, but now I know that maybe it's not worth a repeat visit.
There's a picture of us just like with The Little Mermaid kind of going... and looking kind of sad and damp.
Anyway, carry on with your Rotterdam facts.
Yes, yeah, please let me. Do you know, Martin, you're going to love this one. The main shopping area is called The Gutter.
Oh lovely.
It was named The Shopping Gutter, apparently, when they got a brand new shopping area. Brand new. They called it The Shopping Gutter. Not very appreciative, these Rotterdamites.
No, clearly not.
There's also apparently a statue depicting a Santa Claus with a tree. Do you want to guess what they've named this?
I don't know.
You're not going to guess.
The Drain Pipe.
They've nicknamed it the Butt Plug Gnome.
Not I'm in a one far off, as it happens.
Well, I think
just
you were,
something
Martin.
Ridiculous and to do with bodily functions.
To be fair, if you see a picture of it, you'll understand why they've maybe named it that. But a bit harsh on Santa.
I am not searching butt plug gnome.
No, don't. No, maybe put in Rotterdam Santa Claus statue.
No.
That's probably safer.
Maybe. So that's what's happening. That Rotterdam.
There's
is
Rotterdam.
Is the place. That's the place we're going to.
We're
going to spend a few days there. I'm sure there's going to be plenty to see and do in Rotterdam. Luckily, it's nice and close to other places, maybe.
That's always good. When you can say about somewhere, the best thing about it is it's closer to other good places.
Yeah. If you're from Rotterdam, by the way, and you're listening to this, A, sorry.
Yes,
yeah,
sorry.
And B, can you please tell us something interesting to do? And we will go and do it. We will do that thing. Hey, big news today. On the Eurovision front. Well, I suppose not quite today, but this was announced a little while ago. And it's kind of quite sad news, right?
I know, it is. Should we hold a minute silence?
Yeah, maybe we'll edit it out.
Yeah, well, so just so you know, if you're listening, we've held a minute silence, but we've then edited it out. Why, Martin, would we be holding a minute silence?
Well, because the most charismatic man on the Eurovision Song Contest every year has announced he's stepping down. I'm talking about Jon Olav Sand, who is, I read from Wikipedia, a Norwegian television executive. He is also the European Broadcasting Union's executive supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, if you've ever seen it, you will know that this is the guy who checks all the things, all the votes are kind of verified, yeah. And it's all running as it's meant to. For reasons still unknown, they have to check in with him on the show.
Yes.
They couldn't just do it. He couldn't just tick a box and then carry on. They have to go to him on the show and go, Jon Olav Sand, is everything ready? And then he very charismatically goes, yeah, it's all ready. Have a great show.
I'd love if they just went to him one year and they were like, oh no, he's gone to the toilet. They're like, oh, what do we do now?
So why do we know why he's stepping down?
I think, well, you know, he's done such great work, Martin.
yeah.
That I feel, you know, he will be at Rotterdam. So Rotterdam, he's been there for a decade now. Rotterdam, he said, will be his last one. And he says he's looking forward to his new role. So I think he's working with a public broadcaster in Norway now instead. But so there'll be more charisma to come. I think he's looking on to pastures new, basically. So who will take his place? I'll be interested to know.
Well, it could be any of his family members, because he's got some quite famous family. His uncle was a well-known Norwegian actor. His cousin is also a well-known Norwegian actor, Elizabeth Sand.
Right. When you say well-known,
she's in IMDb.
Right. I mean anyone could. I think I might be on IMDb, Martin, but that doesn't mean very much.
I'll read you her IMDb entry and you can see
please.
What you think.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing you're going to get, by the way, if you listen to this podcast. Martin Elizabeth reading out IMDb.
Jon Ollesand's cousin's IMDb entry. She's an actress known for I de Besta Familia from 1994.
I mean, that sounds like...
Mamor, the film from 2014. I've heard of Mamor. I think that's a well... Is that a well-known film?
I don't think
Maybe
it is.
Maybe it isn't. And the film Blackout from 1986. And that's just that's just scratching the surface of her illustrious career.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Anyway, it's not her.
Exciting for her. Yes, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they replace him with someone just as resolute in not bringing any fun to the process, or whether there'll be someone a bit more exciting to, because, you know, it's an important role, Martin.
It is an important role. And I, for one, will miss Jon Ollesand, because he was...
Do you think?
Because he wasn't too glitz and glam, I think it's fair to say. And I think he represented the everyman. He's the guy just doing his job. He's got a job to do. He's got to be the executive. He's got to oversee things. And he's just getting on with it. And he's just doing it. And
I think you're right.
He's not putting the pizzazz in. But some people... Not everyone can be pizzazz, Chris. Not everyone can be pizzazz.
You're right, he was the businessman of the Eurovision. Everyone else would be sort of dancing around him in glitter and glam, you know, tearing off their skirts, a big bald man singing, and he would still have to be there, very businessmanlike, being like, yes, I am doing this job. And that takes a lot of guts.
That does take a lot, Jon Ollesand, we will miss you. We should try and talk to him.
Oh, we should. I'd love that. I mean, probably not get him to listen to this episode, because we've been a little bit disparaging about him. If you're listening, Jon, we do think you do great work, and we will miss you. I hope that on the you know, because Rotterdam being his last one, I hope they do a little sort of in memoriam for him at some point, like they do at the
He's
Oscars.
Not dead.
Just like looking back at all the times when they've thrown to him, being like, and now Jon, you're just like, yes. A nice little sort of montage of that would be lovely.
Of just him going, yes, we have checked the results and we are ready to proceed. Thank you, Jon.
Thank you, Jon. Yeah, I hope they do that. But I agree, Jon, if you're out there, which you, of course, are somewhere, do please
Probably
get
in
touch. We'd love to speak to you. Yeah, in Norway, maybe. Well, who knows? Do get in touch, Jon. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we would. Right, well, I think that's it for the first episode of Null Poir. We achieved very little, but it was enjoyable, so that's good. We will be back.
Much like the UK's Eurovision entry.
Yeah, well, we didn't even scratch the surface of the UK's Eurovision entry, because there's news about that, but maybe we'll discuss that in a future podcast when we return with more from Null Poir. Bye, Chris.
Bye, Martin.